Welcome to Business on 570 News, powered by Allstream. Great to have you with us. And joining us, as always, Ian McLean, president of the Greater KW Chamber of Commerce, and Greg DeRocher, president of the Cambridge Chamber of Commerce. Gentlemen, welcome. It's been a while since we've had, since we've been together and to talk about new things. And here we are, in arguably the slow time of the season as far as the business world goes. But I guess it depends really on what kind of business you're in.
Because if you're in the golf business,
if you're in the golf business, and then secondarily the business of promoting Waterloo Region as the greatest place to live in Canada, it's been a pretty good week.
It's been a fantastic week.
I mean, this tournament, we're talking about the Manulife Financial LPGA Classic. It's another example of an opportunity to put this area on the map, and this is being viewed by millions and millions of people.
You know, what's really interesting, too, and those of us who are golf fans, we probably watch the LPGA on TV. And what I've always noted, Ian, and you're probably the same, that, you know, when you watch a men's PGA Tour tournament on or a ladies' LPGA, you know, the crowds are generally distinguishingly different. There's a lot less people who follow the LPGA live than follow the PGA, and yet what these girls were talking about for Thursday, which was kind of the opening round, was the crowds were bigger than they've ever seen at any other event that they play at.
Yeah, this has been, it really is, you know, we've talked about this before. It's a world tour. And you look at the flags on the leaderboard on the Manulife Classic site there, and it's from right across the world. But that's absolutely true. Brittany Lang was staying at a friend of mine's house for the weekend, got to know her a little bit, made dinner for her one night. And that's the thing he said, you know, when we come to Canada, it is, they are the biggest crowds when they come to the Canadian Open and now this tournament. So the two tournaments they have in Canada are the biggest crowds they get, even for some of the majors, because when they come to a town like this, it's well-supported. There's thousands of, I think there's over 1,000 volunteers that help do put on the tournament, but they're so well-treated, and they think the fans are the best. Like, and so it's been, it really does showcase the region of Waterloo and all that we have to offer.
They're incredibly personable people, too. Ian and I guess part of our jobs, we get to sometimes to have a little bit of fun, and we both played in the Pro-Am on Wednesday, and on different teams, though, because that would only be appropriate that we would battle against each other. But I think we both had the opportunity to play in a men's Pro-Am as well. And you know, the real difference was, I think, in these young women who are professionals, really have a different attitude and appreciation for the people who support it, like the players and the fans that come out.
And the sponsors.
The sponsors as well, and the volunteers. Mm-hmm. Like, they are just absolutely, you know, wonderful people. And I had the opportunity of playing with Morgan Pressel, and I don't think there was one kid that was walking along watching, spectating the Pro-Am on Wednesday that she didn't make an effort to go and say hug and get her picture taken. And actually, in many cases, she would bring the young girl out onto the course and let her walk the course and then putt her last putt in. You know, it was just amazing how much they appreciate it. But not that they're trying to put on a show. They sincerely appreciate it.
Same thing.
Guys, in general terms, and we're going to talk with Minto Schneider. When do you want to go to her, by the way? Pretty soon? When do you want to?
Yeah.
She's the general manager of Waterloo Tourism Marketing Corporation. But in general terms, before we talk to Minto, what does this event mean to the economy? I mean, we always talk about cash injection, but specifically, not specifically, but just give us an idea of what it means.
Well, this whole town has been taken over by the LPGA. I mean, between the sponsors and all the dollars that are coming in from tourism and the hotels and all the activities have been going on. So it's a huge, I mean, these are always one of those academic exercises of how many, you know, what are the follow-on dollars of
yeah,
the investment
and
that's made.
And it's not really a precise science, but
no, but the reality is that, you know, sometimes you can't put on a price on what we're getting out of this. So Manulife is getting, as the title sponsor, along with BlackBerry and the others that are the sponsors that put this on, are getting some profile because this is all over the Golf Channel, which goes across the world, but it's all over Canada, it's all over North America. And so the region is getting advertising that you cannot pay for.
No.
You couldn't pay enough so this opportunity and the sponsors that are putting it on, along with Sports Property International and Gray Silo, is is I think it's incalculable. And it'll be interesting to see what Minto, how she.
And golf courses would kill to get the profile, the great style was getting from this. There are many, many great golf courses in this region, and you've played many of them.
Yep.
But, you know, Grace Soilo has been quite fortunate in the profile that they're getting from this.
Yeah, it's a great golf course.
And deservedly so.
Lots of fun for the pros, but it's a great place for the spectators. They've done a pretty good job of having lots of places for the spectators.
What were you going to say, Greg?
What I was going to say is Minto will probably bring in some really interesting statistical data because Stats Canada, of course, you know, does have a lot of statistics behind what tourism dollars bring in and visitors coming in. So it'll be interesting to hear her talk about the economic benefit of having an event like this in our region.
Well, I mean, the people in the gallery that aren't from here have to stay somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, they're all over the region.
Yeah,
too.
And that's so they're spending their dollars here. I mean, it's not rocket science.
You know, a number of the players, as you well know, our office also doubles as a visitor center for the region, and we're right on the 401. We get players coming in there all the time looking for directions, getting maps, and getting, you know, what where can I go eat, and things like that. So they're staying in the Cambridge area as well.
For the record, Hee-Yong Park of South Korea, this is going to be a great finish today.
Yeah,
she's got a one-stroke lead over Angela Stanford of the U.S.
But Anna Nordqvist,
and
who
Katrina
was my...
Matthew of Scotland, is only two strokes back, and they all tee off later this afternoon.
Anna Nordqvist, who was my Pro-Am pro.
She's in fifth.
She's in fourth or fifth place. And I say if she gets her, if she starts rolling the potato because she's one hell of a putter, she could make a lot of putts and be. Yeah.
Did you give her some advice while you were playing?
No, I didn't. I got schooled on every hole except for 18. I made a birdie and she didn't. So
I remember last year I was announcing the golfers teeing off to start the morning. And I remember telling one of them, just relax, be the ball.
From Caddyshack.
She gave me the dirtiest look. And
Not everyone's a Caddyshack aficionado.
Look, I know you know you're feeling the pressure.
Yeah.
Just be the ball.
Be the ball.
Be the ball. Yeah. That's from Caddyshack. I always thought that was Mo.
No, that's Caddyshack. Be the ball.
Mo
Billy.
Norman.
Yeah. Well, they be the ball, Billy. Caddyshack might have got it from Mo
be
Norman.
Be the ball. Okay, why don't we bring in Minto?
Yeah, Minto.
Minto Schneider, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
General Manager of the Waterloo Tourism.
Have you been listening to this, by the way, Minto?
It's about time you brought me in. I can't believe that you guys were giving advice to pro golf.
It wasn't taken, Minto, so I mean, rest assured it was not taken.
Be the ball?
Yeah.
She also didn't speak English, so I mean, she looked at me like, what?
That's probably a lucky thing.
Actually, I saw Minto on Thursday. We had the pleasure of being guests of someone, and we probably can't mention them, but we were at the 18th watching them come in. So, Minto, how did you enjoy it?
Oh, that was so exciting. I've never been to a pro golf tournament before, and having an opportunity to see that caliber of player up close, I mean, I've watched golf on television before, but seeing it live is really something else. Mm-hmm. And seeing the crowds there was fantastic, too. And it was really nice having the first day in a long time that it didn't rain.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
they were praying all week for it, but it's held off since Tuesday, and it's been
course
is just getting better and better with every passing day.
Ideal weather. It's just
well, you know,
perfect.
All that rain leading up to it made the course just gorgeous.
Oh, plush, yeah. Very, very plush.
So yep. it was really exciting to be there.
But
you know, you talked about not being able to calculate the value of having something like the LPGA in Waterloo. In fact, there is a way to calculate some of the economic value of an event like this, and it's through the Canadian Sport Tourism Alliance. They have a program called Sport Tourism Economic Assessment Model, and quite often sporting events will hire someone to do the survey while the organization is in town or while the event or tournament is in town so that they can calculate what the economic impact is for hosting an event like that. You know, having said that, having LPGA and the publicity that's brought with it, including the airtime on radio and television around the world, is incalculable.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you know, there are some statistics and there are organizations that follow this. You know, Minto, in reality, maybe just convey to our listeners, you probably don't have a number, but you know, can you give us some ideas to the economic value of having an organization and an event like this in our community?
You know, I can't really, but I know that those numbers will be available once they determine how many people actually attended. I know last year there were 70,000, and the calculation is based on how many people come from out of town and how many people are local. but it calculates everything from the amount that's spent on food and beverage, hotels, and even gas in that number. So it'll be a fairly high number.
All right, hang on the line, Minta. We're going to come back and talk more. You're listening to Business on 570 News, powered by Allstream. You can email us at biz2biz.com or business2business.com. That's biz2biz at 570news.com.
At
business2business at 570news.com. We're being webcast at our website, 570news.com, produced by Liz Russell and Catherine Drake. Check out the webcast. They do a great job. And I've just noticed it now. I'm watching the show.
That's why some of us dress up for it, unlike Greg, but that's okay.
So check out the webcast. They do a great job putting it together. It's at 570news.com.
Some of us do our hair.
And we're going to come back. And some of us have hair.
That's true.
I just noticed one thing. I am noticing I'm starting to thin in the back here. Okay, we're going to come back.
More than a little.
You're listening to Business, powered by Allstream on 570 News. Welcome back to Business on 570 News. I'm Glenn Peltier with our host, Ian McLean. He is the president of the Greater Kitchener-Waterloo Chamber of Commerce, and Greg DeRocher, president of the Cambridge Chamber. And we're joined by Minto Schneider, general manager of the Waterloo Tourism Marketing Corporation. When last we spoke, we were talking about the boon to the economy, that is the Manulife Financial LPGA Classic. And gentlemen, take it away with Minto.
Well, Minto, we may not be able to value it. What's the importance of, we've heard, and this is an international tour. How does it help you in terms of marketing this region to have this tour and this region profiled as an example, the Golf Channel and on news channels, sports channels all across the world?
Well, there's a few things. I mean, one is having the players here who are from all over the world, and they have a great experience when they're in Waterloo. I mean, they love having all the spectators here. The weather's been gorgeous while they've been here. The course looks beautiful. And when they go home to their home countries, they talk about what a great place we have. You know, and they also have an opportunity to talk with other players who may not have been here, maybe the men players, and talk about what a great destination Waterloo is. Then with the radio and television coverage, it's not only the viewers that see what a great place we have, but also the people that come from away, or as we'd say in the Maritimes, the come from aways, that are here working for the networks and see what a great place Waterloo is. And for many of them, it's the second year they've been here because they were here last year, and I'm sure a lot of them are looking forward to coming back next year.
And as they say in the Maritimes, they're having a shacking good time here this weekend.
They are.
Shacking good time.
And we hope that they'll come back and stay longer next time.
Well, Minto, as we move away from the LPGA event that's happening this week in the Manulife Classic, you know, there's a million other things happening throughout the region this summer, and maybe you want to take this opportunity to maybe highlight a few of those so that people can write them down and make sure they attend.
Yeah, you know, you were talking earlier about how business-wise it's not as busy as some parts of the year during the summer because so many people take vacation, but this is really festival season in Waterloo region too. So coming up, next weekend is the Sun Life Financial Uptown Waterloo Jazz Festival, the 19th to the 21st. Believe it or not, it's the 21st year for the Jazz Festival in Waterloo, and everything is free. So all of the concerts for 3 days are going to be free, so that's something you don't want to miss. And coinciding with that is the Downtown Kitchener Rib Fest and Craft Beer Show, and it's the 10th year for that in Victoria Park. Again, that's free admission. And there's
you don't want to miss that, Greg. You don't stay slim like him by missing many of those rib
fests. That's a good one. And there's live music there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. And in Cambridge, in Greg's neck of the woods, is the Highland Games. And that's also the 19th and 20th next weekend with Highland dancing, an 8-kilometer run, a tug-of-war, piping and drumming competition, and ethnic food. I'm not sure if they're serving haggis or not, but that's something you won't want to miss either.
I'd rather eat the caber than the haggis.
So what are some of the things you're just thinking about the future? I mean, I know one of the things we have, we talk about the LPGA and supporting that event very well, but we're also a great sports town, but we have limited opportunities to draw some of those big amateur events, hockey tournaments or baseball tournaments. What are we working on as a region to make sure that we can draw on those bigger events, whether it's arts, culture, or sports, to this region? Because we've demonstrated we can support them with supporters and fans if we have the facilities. What are you working on with at the tourism board?
Well, sport tourism would want to be one of our big focuses coming up. We've got our partners together as in the hotels and the restaurants and the sport facilities all together on a database, and we are going to concentrate on trying to get our fair share of that business. We're going to start with going after the provincial organizations so that we make sure that we get our fair share of those groups that rotate their tournaments or events around the province from region to region. You know, quite often they'll go east, west, south, north to try and make sure that each region gets their fair share. But I think that in some cases we haven't been aggressive enough in trying to attract those groups to come here. So we're going to work with our local champions, those people that are leading groups of volunteers, to help invite their counterparts to come and meet in Waterloo Region. We've been quite successful with some of the groups that we have, and they also spread the word to fellow sporting organizations. You may remember in March we hosted the Ontario Volleyball Association. Mm-hmm. They pretty much took over Rim Park for 3 weekends in March, and the Prime Minister's children were playing, and so the Prime Minister and his wife were here to watch. And they're coming back again in 2014, and we have an opportunity to bid for another three-year contract for 2015 and beyond. So that's just an example of the kind of business that we can get, where we can match the time that we need the business when the hotels are not as busy and the sporting facilities are not as busy with those organizations that are looking for space to host.
Now this, it's critically important that you and your organization have funding, and funding's always limited. So you're working on, well, not unique, but it's certainly unique to this area. Most destinations or most municipalities have a fee on a hotel bill that the individual registering would have. Nobody pays attention to them anymore, because whenever I travel, it's always on that bill. But that fee goes directly into the marketing program for the area to attract people to come into the community and stay and spend a night or two nights, whether it be conferences and meetings or whether it be for event marketing as well. So maybe you want to talk a little bit about that, because I think people don't really understand that. And as you and I discussed last week, even some of the hoteliers don't really understand that. In fact, but they should.
Yes, I think you're right. It's called a destination marketing program. And cities like Toronto and Ottawa have had them in place for quite some time. Now, most cities across the country have introduced it. The Destination Marketing Program is a voluntary program that hotels subscribe to by adding a percentage levy on their room rate, so that percentage, say 3%, for example, will go to a destination marketing fund that is administered by a third-party organization, but a marketing strategy put together by the group that is involved. For example, if it were hotels, the hotel managers would put together the marketing strategy and what markets they want to pursue and where they'd use that money. In some communities, there are attractions involved, and Waterloo Region is looking at having attractions be a part of the destination marketing program. And in some smaller communities, they even have restaurants involved. Mm-hmm. So it's a very important way of extending our budget further so that we can be competitive with other communities that are our neighbors and communities that are a little further away.
All right. Our guest is Minto Schneider, General Manager of the Waterloo Tourism Marketing Corporation. She's our guest on Business to Business, powered by Allstream. We're going to come back if you have a few more minutes, Minto. Mm-hmm. We'd love to keep the discussion going.
Yeah, I do. All right. Absolutely.
We're going to come back with more. You're listening to Business on 570 News. Welcome back to Business on 570 News, powered by Allstream. And the web stream is just delightful. I'm so hooked on the web stream.
How do you look?
They show some nice... I look terrible.
How do I look?
They show some beautiful outdoor live shots of the city, because we've got cameras.
I used to have the camera.
We've got cameras on top of the McPherson Center building.
Oh, very
good. So you see a nice panorama of the city, and then...
And then, unfortunately, you come in studio and see us.
Yeah, you see beautiful nature and trees and sky.
That's a problem.
And then you see...
we'll have to do something about that.
You see this crazy gray-haired guy with hair all over the place.
and that's you.
No, I was going to... You know, I can't criticize your hair. It's always so neat.
It's perfect.
You know, yeah, it's nice.
At least one of us has to brush their hair before coming in.
But equally as gray, I think. And Ian, you haven't gone gray yet.
No,
I hate you.
I know.
anyway.
I think he dies.
With every passing show, it gets more and more
I think
gray,
he dies.
You can email the show at any time, biz2biz@570news.com. If you have a question or a suggestion for a future show, a question of Ian and Greg, let us hear from you. biz2biz@570news.com. Again, we're web streamed at 570news.com. Web stream producer today is Catherine Drake, and our producer for the radio show is the always capable Elizabeth Russell, who, by the way, has been getting a lot of work around here producing other shows and is becoming a crackerjack producer and has a real passion for radio.
She takes very good care
Stick
of
around,
us.
Kid. You're going places, as they say. Welcome back, Minto. Minto Schneider, General Manager of the Waterloo Tourism Marketing Corporation. We were chatting about the impact of the Manulife Financial LPGA Classic and some of the festivals and what they mean to the community. And, you know, it could be equally said, we might as well talk about this now, the Dunfield Theater. My goodness. Mm. Spectacular theater, and Greg was just talking about the opening night performance of Sorry I'm Canadian, starring Neil Aitchison. It's a first-rate performance and a great show, but this Dunfield Theater is a gem.
Well, it's an absolute gem. Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. You know, I took a number of guests out for opening night on Friday night. Absolutely a phenomenal show. If you get the opportunity, in fact, you need to make the opportunity to go see Sorry I'm Canadian. It's just Neil does a fantastic job, as he always does with just about everything. But they've got some phenomenal dancers. They've got some phenomenal four-piece band up there that plays music from, you know, East Coast to West Coast and everything in between. It's just a really phenomenal, good family night of entertainment. And if you have the opportunity, please take it and seize it and go and see it, because it's just great.
Mm-hmm. Well, Minto, we've talked about the Oktoberfest and the LPGA sort of being those headliner events that are known nationally and across the world, and you've talked about some of the local events and some of the like the Dunfield Theater and Drayton Festival and how close we are to a lot of those cultural amenities. How does that translate into economic development? I think you were at our economic development event where we heard from the consultant talking about how we do economic development in the region. How does what you're doing tie into that economic development portfolio and bringing the jobs and investment and new companies into the region?
I think one of the things that has been recognized by the Prosperity Council when they recommended the creation of Creative Enterprise and working with us more closely is that we make Waterloo Region a better place to live. So that when companies are trying to attract new employees, or our region is trying to attract companies to be based in the region, we look like a vibrant community. We've got all sorts of things going on: festivals, arts, the theater, restaurants, and there's lots of things to do. And I think at one time we were kind of seen as a little bit of a sleepy community. So when there were companies that were considering whether they should be based in Waterloo Region, they might look at another community that thought they had more things that were attractive to younger employees and were based there instead. But I think that we don't have to take second place to anybody now.
I think that sleepy community thing came from Ian McLean, because he doesn't get going till about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. So
I'm already taking my first nap by 9 o'clock.
Well, Minto, you know, we are having that discussion on what economic development will look like in the future from a regional perspective, and I think we all agree we need a coordinated effort. You're really tied very closely at this point to CTT, and so, you know, obviously, and I don't want you to put yourself in a difficult position, but obviously you have some personal concerns or interests along the way with this. How important do you think it is that we develop this solid, coordinated effort around economic development?
I think it's critically important. I think that in anything that we do, you know, we have limited budgets. And the more that we can work together and line ourselves up to leverage each other in whatever markets we're in, the more important it is. So if I can work with the folks at CTT when they're bringing people into town to look around to see what sites there are that might be attractive for them to set up business, I can help by making sure that they see other things aside from the business aspects of what might be attractive to them to set up in Waterloo. And by the same token, you know, when we're traveling or CTT is traveling internationally to promote our region, I can provide them with information like videos and promotional material so that they can share the wonders of our destination when they're on the road.
Well, that's great, Minto. I applaud you and your effort there. I know it's not easy. At one time, Cambridge Chamber of Commerce had tourism responsibilities and destination marketing responsibilities for the city of Cambridge, and it's a very difficult job because you're trying to make everyone happy, and that's almost impossible. So we both know what we're talking about here when it comes to trying to make people happy. But thank you for the job that you do, and of course, good luck the rest of the summer. I think we're going to have a great summer here in the region of Waterloo. Lots of things happening, and all the best. I understand you're at your cottage right now.
Absolutely.
How's the weather?
It's gorgeous.
Where's the cottage?
Honey Harbor.
Oh, nice. Oh. Lovely.
Get out in the boat. It's going to be
all
a wonderful afternoon.
Thanks for joining us.
Opportunity, guys.
Thank you, Minto.
Okay, bye-bye.
Minto Schneider was our guest. She is the general manager of the Waterloo Tourism Marketing Corporation. Stick around. Vito Mangiolardi of Allstream is coming up. They are our main sponsor. We thank Allstream for sponsoring the program. So Vito's coming up. We've got a few minutes to go to get to the next
Yeah,
break.
I think, maybe Ian and I and you too, Glenn, want to dovetail a little bit on the importance of this economic development review that we're going through in the region of Waterloo.
Can you elaborate on that?
Well, the CAO's about a year ago instructed or brought in a consultant to review the activities of economic development all the way from, the regional perspective of CTT, which is foreign direct investment. So they're outside trying to attract interest into coming here, outside the country, actually trying to bring interest here. And then you've got the municipalities who all have economic development departments who sell land and develop industrial sites. And when CTT brings them in, they introduce them to all those folks, and then those folks kind of, try and get the company placed in the region. Well, what really this effort was to have a look at that and say, is that the best we can do? And obviously, it's not the best we can do. We need a coordinated effort. We need I think from Ian's perspective and my perspective, we're really talking about a single approach to this where we've got an organization that's their eyes on the ball are both foreign direct investment as well as economic development within the community, because 80% of our economic development activities are really local businesses expanding, growing, yeah, and needing new places to locate their business. I think somebody had pointed out at one point, if you've got a growing concern in your community, if you've got a business that's growing, you need to pay particular attention to them because they're also being courted by outside interests to locate their business, yeah, somewhere else. But, and we want to keep them here.
Well, and I think to be brutally honest, I think the spark of this came when we lost Schneider's, because, yeah, a lot of people started asking some real questions of saying, did we put our best foot forward? I think when we had Lee Parsons on, he said maybe or maybe not that it was that Schneider's may have been leaving, but it's not. It's clear, and clear to him that we did not put our best foot forward, yeah, because it, yeah, was not a coordinated effort.
And what makes that sting even more is the fact that they're not going to Holland.
No,
or
they're going
Canton, Ohio.
60 kilometers down the road.
They're going to Hamilton. Yeah. So that really stung.
And so I think we look at in the context, but I think it was Lee actually who said, mm-hmm, if 80% of all economic growth, so all new jobs, all new investment, is coming from people that are already here. And I think what he said, what that really stuck in my mind, is if you're growing, you're either being courted or you're looking for your next, mm-hmm, move, and we've got to have people here with a coordinated approach saying, hey, we're not losing another Schneider's. We're not losing another, yeah, company that's got 30 employees that could be 100 in a year or two. So, we really have to make sure that we don't let anything slip through the cracks, because it's too tough to attract new,
yeah,
jobs.
Yeah, we just can't sit back and say, yeah, well, it started in a local garage, so it's never going to go anywhere. They'll move, yeah, because they have to move in order to expand and grow and create the opportunities they need for their companies.
And I think that's the tie-in to things like the LPGA. I mean, Manulife was not sponsoring that just because it's good for, this region, although that's part of it. They're a global company saying they want to do business in every part of the world. And yes, they're pleased to showcase here because this is where their Canadian head office is, but they're marketing all around the world.
It's economic development.
Absolutely.
It absolutely is.
I want to talk to you guys later about that huge property, the former Bud Automotive property, mm-hmm, part of the former, mm-hmm, plant, the Kitchener Frame plant sitting there vacant. I mean, you must have some thoughts on that.
Well,
that's perhaps a topic for another show.
Well, it gets complicated, but this is, again, where you have the, you have a region official plan, a city official plan, you've got zoning. What types of businesses do you want there? So it's those are important discussions to have, not only for community development, but for economic development.
We're going to take a break. Now, this segment of Business to Business is brought to you by Save on Energy, offered by your local electric utilities. We are coming back with more with Ian and Greg. I'm Glenn Pelche, and you're listening to Business, powered by Allstream on 570 News. Welcome back to Business on 570 News, powered by Allstream. And joining us now is Vito Mangialardi. He is the director of the Business Continuity Management Program at Allstream. Welcome, Vito.
Good morning.
Well, Vito, given the recent flooding in Alberta, how can business learn from those types of events to be prepared for the unexpected?
Well, there are two ways that businesses can be prepared for the unexpected. One is business continuity planning, which is process-centric, and the other is disaster recovery planning for your technology or IT production environments. Business continuity is the activity performed by an organization to ensure that critical business functions and deliverables to customers is preserved at time of disaster or emergency. Disaster recovery, sometimes known as DR, is the process, policies, and procedures related to preparing for the recovery or continuation of technology infrastructure that's critical to most organizations after a natural or human-induced disaster. Proactive planning, mitigation by design, I like to call it, utilizes redundancy and diversity strategies to promote continuity of your business at time of disaster. For example, if your office is not there, where does your workforce go? Your applications fail, what's the backup plan? If your staff don't show up for work for whatever reason, how do you keep your business running? You can't predict an emergency, but you can sure plan for one.
So do businesses and companies, especially small business, really need a business continuity plan?
I'm sorry, I did not hear your question.
So do companies really need a business continuity plan? Hello.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because we are all moving to the reliance of dependency on automation, technology, and our relationships with partners, vendors, and suppliers are around the clock. We're moving to e-business models, increased data storage, and our customer expectations are through the roof. This evolution is constantly tested by business threats, including cyber attacks, terrorism, extreme weather, earthquakes, and so forth. And we saw this clearly in Calgary with the recent flooding. When these incidents occur and disrupt our flow of businesses, companies can expect to have their brand and reputation negatively impacted. And this could be has a very direct impact to the bottom line, not to mention your relative position in the marketplace.
Okay, so tell us, how does telecommunications play a role in business continuity?
As your business requirements change, so should the requirements that customers have on their networks. As customers evolve, so should their business continuity plans. The amount of change to the network is dependent on how dynamic the business needs are. If your business is dependent on telecom, you must consider the following. Understand your business communication requirements. Talk to your telecom service provider about their network resilience, your diversity status. Focus on services required, not so much the technology. And I also like to think about build it or buy it right culture. If telecom is vital to your business survival, you should consider redundant, diverse, private, or high availability networks to meet your continuity needs.
Our guest is Vito Mangialardi. He is the director of the Business Continuity Management Program at Allstream, in conversation with Ian McLean.
So what solutions does Allstream offer to your customers in terms of business continuity planning?
Firstly, I do consult with businesses and provide a business continuity plan that includes the network side of the business. Allstream also offers a host of solutions to meet customer-specific requirements that are flexible, scalable, and cost-effective, tailored to meet the needs of any organization within any industry, because we all rely on telecom. We offer fully managed BCP and DR facilities for clients with Allstream networks and support for a broad range of systems, including Intel, mainframes, distributed systems, IBM Z-Series, Unix, and almost every brand of server. Cloud replication is one of the most cost-effective solutions we offer. Virtually replicated business continuity service ensures that critical applications are always available to end users. Designed for small to medium-sized businesses, it delivers real-time continuous availability without the need to purchase, manage, or maintain hardware, software, networking, and remote disaster recovery facilities. We don't offer a cookie-cutter approach. Rather, we tailor the solution to the needs of the business in question. We at Allstream are big enough to deliver our solutions, yet small enough to care about all our customers' needs. It's what we do best.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vito. Our guest has been Vito Mangialardi, Director of the Business Continuity Management Program at Allstream.
5:70 to use time, 12:54. A few minutes to go, guys. It's pretty, I guess it's the summer. It's not the busiest time for your chambers right now.
No, we have our golf tournament in August, so there's still a few spots left, but really this is the time when we're getting...
We're busy.
We're busy because we're doing all our planning.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of major events.
In terms of events,
that picks up in the fall.
We were just talking about your employer wanting us on live every week, so that's hard to do because we're busy guys.
Yeah, well, we have ways around that, yeah. But we can make sure that there's a new show every week.
Well,
yeah.
You could be live if we could, learn our voices. You could just do the show by yourself, and we just give you the content. I think that'd be good. Hey, you know something that was exciting in the region this week was the BlackBerry, officially changed its name to BlackBerry.
Yeah, they had the shareholders
meeting, and I think for the most part, most shareholders certainly were still happy with the direction they're going, and.
I think the
Mr. Hines said, it's early. We're in transition. It's going to take some time. We're not a device-only company. What did you think of his address to shareholders?
Well, I mean, I think that I've been saying this for a while. I mean, the investment community is being unfair to just about every company now.
Oh.
I mean, they set their target at 2.5 to 3 million, meet that, but the market had set new targets for them. On their own, they did the same thing to Samsung and iPhone as well. So, in any event, I mean, I think they are in transition, and I mean, this is not if you're playing these things for share price increases in the short term, you're always going to lose. I think BlackBerry does have between patents and the BBM and licensing a lot of their technology. Mm-hmm. I think their best days are ahead.
I think as well, there were some comments from some shareholders that were worried about the American market and said, it's got to be the U.S. market. And, quite frankly, there's 300 million people in the U.S. There's, a few billion others in the world.
Yeah.
They're very strong in the U.K. They're very strong in Europe and in Asia. And,
yeah, my dad had spent some time in Africa, and Nigeria and places like that are huge growth. BlackBerry is the
think you're going to rip the Apple devices out of the Americans, so forget it, do what you can. And
We could do, now that we're going every week, we can do a whole show on BlackBerry.
Let's do that.
We should.
We could do a whole show on you.
Yeah, that would not be much content there, but that's okay.
All right. Guys, it's always a pleasure, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. You've been listening to Business to Business on 570 News, powered by Allstream. We invite you to check out their chamber websites, greaterkwchamber.com. and CambridgeChamber.com. And our producer, Liz Russell and Catherine Drake, thank you for the great job that you do. We'll be back in with more on Business to Business next Sunday. And then our next live show is coming up on July 28th. We've got Blue Jays baseball next. Is that says coming out? All right, Jays and Orioles before the final game before the All-Star break. Or do they play Monday?
Yeah,
the final game before the All-Star break? All right, thanks for listening. You've been listening to Business, powered by Allstream on 570 News.